Blog Talk Radio.
Woohoo! Welcome to the show.
Lift your head,
you sinner. That's a startup song to the show, maybe. I think someone added that as a startup song. We'll have to get that switched. Folks, we're going to be having an amazing show tonight. You will not be able to take it. As you know, Kate Steinle verdict came down, and this loser, Zoarte, we'll give him a last name. I'm not going to publicize him as little as possible, because these murdering killers have no reason to be mentioned anywhere for any reason to get any glory or any remembrance of their sick, twisted, demented crimes. Folks, some of these killers are the dreamers, folks. We're going to be talking with Steve Ronnebeck and Laura Iris Wilkerson tonight, both of whose families have fallen victim to illegal immigrant crime of the worst kind. We'll touch on their stories a little bit, and we will touch on the Kate Steinle verdict. Very, very, very sickening situation in California. Now, I do believe, if you ask me, when it all comes around, those that are responsible for sanctuary cities are responsible for the murders of these people. These fine lives taken before their time. Sickening. So stick around right there. We'll be coming back in a few.
You are listening to Patriot Nation Radio Live, 347-637-3942.
Yes, indeed. I'll be back in 4 minutes.
Thank you for listening to Patriot Nation Radio, 347-637-3942.
Turn this down so I can talk to the folks
Attention
on the
Attention conservatives. Big social media is targeting conservatives like you and me in an effort to silence us and the truth. The free speech social media that you have waited for is here at LibertyRush.com. No longer do you have to be distracted by fake news. Join the war on fake news at LibertyRush.com. The official alternative with no libtard rhetoric. Guaranteed. LibertyRush.com.
Hey, what's up, everybody? This is Dave Bray, America's favorite patriotic rocker, and you are listening to Patriot Nation Radio Network.
I never knew about at a funeral or like the last day when an officer has passed, and they actually go and the dispatch will close basically down the radio air for emergency only, and then she will call the badge number or he will call the badge number from dispatch, and obviously there's never an answer. Brave soul has passed away in the line of duty. Felt like something needed to be done or to recognize that, and that's what the song is about. Basically, it's about an officer who's gone down in the line of duty, and he's given his all, and when they do reach out for the last call, he answers back, and these are his words. And one thing a lot of people don't know, I know a lot of cops, in and out of uniform, they are very human, just like you and I. They pick and choose what laws they uphold, but they have to uphold the ones that are put in place by our representatives. And our representatives are the people that we put in office. And the same people that are out there with their signs are the same people that are putting lunatics in office. Here's the wake-up call, people. Don't come down on the men and women in blue for doing their job. Come down on your representatives for passing these BS laws and get involved in your political on a local level and fix what the problem is. Fix the problems in our laws today. Get involved in your local politics and get moving. Get moving in America. Become a citizen. A citizen doesn't mean you sit back and collect a paycheck from the government. A citizen means you are a part of the government, a part of the citizenry, a part of the voting and voicing public. And that's what I think the song says, moreover than anything else. And if people want to hear it, because I know they do, please go to Dave Bray USA right now on Facebook. That's DaveBray USA.
All units, stand by for a special announcement. Emergency traffic only.
11:45. Prince William calling, 11:45. This is the final call for 11:45. Officer Ashley Gwendon, end of watch, February 27th, 2016. May you rest in peace.
Murdered. While the NRA defends the Second Amendment, the American brand fights the propaganda war. My name is Scott Kesterson, and I am president of the American brand. The American brand is a next-generation media, education outreach, and political action training organization designed for red state America. We are an organization built on the inalienable rights guaranteed in our Constitution, on the core values of hard work, on integrity, and on a deep commitment to faith and love for country. The left is working tirelessly to have you believe that red states and red counties are second-class citizens and should have no political power. Nothing could be further from the truth. The American brand has been built to strengthen the political voice of red state small towns and rural communities, to preserve American values, and to train and mobilize the next generation of red state small business and political leadership. It is a bold vision forged from the experiences of small business and military special operations. Visit our website at theamericanbrand.org. That's theamericanbrand.org to learn more. We need your support and your donations to make this work. Join us in the fight. Thank you. God bless, and God bless this great country.
Yes, indeed. Let's do this one more time just in case. Here we go. Bam! Things run a little slow tonight.
You are listening to Patriot Nation Radio Live, 347-637-3942.
We made it. All right, ladies and gentlemen, tonight is a very important show as we discuss this travesty that took place out in California. The life of a young lady was taken while arm in arm with her father on a boardwalk in San Francisco. We have the father of a son who was killed over a pack of cigarettes. So I'm guessing maybe out in Arizona, a pack of cigarettes might be $8-$10. Laura also joining us. Horrific. What happened to this young man? Very sickening. Extremely sickening. What happens in this country? So you know what we're going to do here, because I have to do this every show. I would ask that everybody join me. So we salute the flag that is fought for by legal Americans, American citizens. I'm going to salute this flag that is being disrespected weekly by NFL players during the national anthem at the games. So bad now that they don't even want to play the national anthem. Hey, look, Lawrence Merrill thinks this show sucks. Thanks, Lawrence Merrill. Thanks, buddy. But you're here tuning in to troll the page, so can't be that bad. Keep trolling. Folks, get them. Troll back at Lawrence Merrill. You know what I mean? I mean, come on, Lawrence. We're just here trying to have some fun. Go find a liberal show to watch if you don't like this one. You know, we're not here trying to break your balls or hurt you or do anything bad. But ladies and gentlemen, join me in the national anthem. Screw the NFL. Turn them off.
Oh, say can you see by the dawn's early light what so proudly we hailed at the twilight's last gleaming, whose broad stripes and bright stars through the perilous fight o'er the ramparts we watched were so gallantly streaming. Hail the rocket's red glare, the bombs bursting in air, gave proof through the night that our flag was still there. Oh, say does that star-spangled banner yet wave o'er the land of the free and the home of the brave?
Hello to everybody there on the live feed. Kim, Daniel, Jason, Todd. Lawrence, who thinks the show sucks, welcome to the show, Lawrence. Kenneth, and everybody else who's there on the live feed, thank you so much for tuning in. It's my pleasure to be here tonight to bring you this horrific story and this horrific verdict. Let's start right here. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the show tonight. Our first guest, we'll bring our second guest in pretty quickly. Steve Ronebeck. Steve, welcome to the show, sir.
Thanks, Mark. Thank you so much for having me.
No problem. I appreciate your time, especially now, this time of year, what you guys must be going through, knowing that your son should be sitting on a couch opening presents with you guys, and he was murdered by a criminal alien, and that criminal alien should not have even been in this country, a total preventable crime, and it's a disgrace.
Oh, absolutely. It's not getting any better. You know, the border is picked up speed again, and you know, they're getting to be not afraid anymore, and that's a bad thing for all of us.
It is. It's horrible. And they're getting more and more brazen. Groups like they just stand out on street corners and say, you know, with signs saying they're illegal, and they don't get arrested. It's unbelievable.
Well, you know, the one thing, Mark, I tell you, maybe your listeners don't know, and I just learned this last weekend, and I just got this fact last weekend. Here in Maricopa County last month, we had 265 overdoses of heroin. So that's 265 people that died because they OD'd on heroin. And you know where the heroin's coming from, right?
Yeah, Afghanistan.
No, my friend, it's coming from Mexico.
Well, yeah,
it starts in Afghanistan, correct? But you know, they're bringing it from Mexico. They're coming across our southern border with it. They're cutting it with fentanyl, and it's a killer. It's just a killer.
Well, the fentanyl, I hear if you even touch it, like you can overdose just from like grabbing a little bit on your fingers. It's crazy.
You know, what happened to my son is horrific. What happened to Laura's son is horrific. But, you know, the other thing that all of us are fighting for, it's not just these guys that are murdering our kids and our loved ones. But what about these guys that are bringing this, if they call it gray death, is what they call this heroin that they've come up with. What about the guys that are killing our citizens, getting them hooked on this horrible drug? I don't know.
It's been a problem in this nation for decades. My brother was actually probably dabbling in it a little bit, but he's good now. He got out of it. Thank goodness. And I'm going to bring in our other guest right now. Also, her son, senselessly murdered, and a totally preventable crime. As you can see at my Facebook event page, basically all they have to do is enforce the law. Just look at the little logo I put up there for the event page picture. They enforce the law that is on the books right now, none of this, we wouldn't even be having this conversation. We probably would have never spoke ever. And no. It's my honor to speak with both of you. And welcome to the show, Miss Laura Irish Wilkerson.
Thank you so much for having me.
No problem.
Hi, Laura.
Man. Thank you.
Hi, Steve. How are you?
I'm good.
Good. I think it's like Steve said, there's so much more to the story that, you know, it's the not having to follow the laws, the people that are here illegally, you know, the drugs coming in, the money going out. It's so much more than just our kids, but, you know, that really is the biggest thing, that you know, they're coming in and just killing people. And you see, you know, people don't understand what a sanctuary city is. Well, this Kate Steinle verdict is an absolute, will show you how a sanctuary city could hurt your family. I can't even imagine the citizens in San Francisco are happy about this. You know, I'm really surprised not to see an uprising about it from known citizens. It clearly shows you, you know, what it can happen to your own family because the laws are so lax in a sanctuary city.
It's crazy. Now, what my hope is, and I think that we should all try to think about this, is when it comes time for those to be held accountable in sanctuary cities, that they be charged as an accessory to murder. Because they are accessories to murder. Governor Moonbeam.
You know, you are absolutely right, Mark. That, I mean, what a lot of people don't understand is a sanctuary city or a sanctuary state is actually unconstitutional. It's against the law. So these mayors and Governor Moonbeam, they need to be held accountable for what they're doing. They're breaking the law. And they are accessories to Kate Steinle's murder for letting this happen.
They are, yeah, and all the other murders. And they're culpable in Arizona. And where else do these other horrific crimes happen? These folks are to be held accountable. And think about how many crimes they could be held accountable for, where they would never, ever be eligible to see the light of day without seeing bars, the shadow of bars through the sunlight. So now,
exactly.
Laura,
uh-huh.
Laura, you're sitting there, and I'm sure you guys are watching, waiting for this verdict to come down. And the not guilty verdict is read. What's going through your mind right at that moment?
Anger, you know, I really kind of felt like the jury was taking too long and I was worried that this would be the result, but still just as shocked and stunned as ever to hear it. It really makes me wonder about the prosecutor. You know, they know what they can charge and what they can get. And, you know, maybe she didn't do wrong, but you really have to worry about it when someone claims to be a sanctuary city. You know, you have to start to thinking who all is, you know, in agreement with this. So I don't know. I'm stunned for the Steinleys that they had to go through this circus. And I know what it must feel like for them to go home having not gotten a conviction. And I know in my family, we were so glad that chapter was over. But yet we got a conviction. And it was the hardest time for us after that because everybody goes home. You know, the prosecutor picks up the next file and goes on to the next case, and it is absolutely kind of you're alone, and it's torturous for a while. And I don't know. My heart was broken for the Steinle family about, you know, that they just were broken again, and they were victimized again by the justice system and by a sanctuary city. I my heart breaks for them and what it must feel like.
Yes, ma'am. Now, some folks are asking on the live feed, what's the topic about tonight? Tonight, we are talking about the Kate Steinle verdict with Laura Iris Wilkerson, Steve Ronnebeck, whose children were also fell victims to illegal immigrant crime. The worst one, of course, murder. And it's unbelievable that these folks would say not guilty and take a chance of setting this guy who's 7 previous felonies, from what I understand, and 5 prior deportations. Should have never been here. I think from now on, when they catch these guys, we got to make a special prison just for illegal immigrants And then you get 10 years in prison first before we send you back. All right, so we still have to pay for them, but at least they're locked away and they can't hurt nobody.
Yeah. I'm really shocked that, you know, we have rights as an American citizen. You know, we are innocent until proven guilty and so many other things that we have rights as American citizens. But we're giving them away to anybody, to people who are not citizens. So what does that mean to us anymore as a citizen? I mean, if everybody has these rights, you know, why are we proud to be an American? Why are we, if we're going to give them away to anybody? I think the jury should have heard, you know, his history of being deported and being illegal. I think they should have heard that. I don't think that they have, you know, the same rights as we do in court. They do, but I don't think it's appropriate that they do. You know, it becomes all about them. They have more rights than we do when you're sitting in court, and it's just like a new ball game. But I don't think that they deserve those rights. If they're here illegally and they get charged with anything, I think they should be held until it's solved. You know?
What would have happened if an American citizen committed these crimes and not an illegal
crime? You know. Yeah, you don't even have to ask. You know where they'd be. If I did it and just, you know, picked up a gun and, you know, shot across the woods or did anything like that and hit somebody, I'm going to go to jail probably for manslaughter at the very least. And if I had a criminal, you know, past like his, you or I wouldn't be walking around with seven felonies, I don't believe.
In some states, three felonies means you're a predicate felon and you don't get out. That's it. After the third felony.
Yeah, that three strikes you're out, it is gone. And now what is it? You know, 10 or until they kill a person? And now this just took it a step further. It's until they kill a person and then next. You know, they act like they're going to deport him now, which is some kind of travesty to him. He'll be right back. It wasn't hard the first five times to come back in. So I don't imagine he's very worried about it.
Nope. I think they should have let him they should have let him free. They should have just let him walk out the doors, because I think, you know, the American people might have took care of what they needed to take care of. Or if anything, he might have been scared to death and packed his bag and went back to Mexico on his own. You know, who knows?
Yeah.
But this
the worst part of this.
Yes, sir.
The worst part of this is, and Laura's going to agree with me because Laura and I have had this conversation. We couldn't go to Mexico and cross illegally into Mexico and commit a crime and even get a trial. We'd be lucky if we would make it to jail.
Yeah.
I mean, they are brutal on people that cross illegally into Mexico, Guatemala, any of the, you know, South American states.
Have you ever seen the pictures of the wall between Guatemala and Mexico? Unbelievable.
Yeah. Yeah. But yet
they have laws. They just follow them. You know, their countries have laws which they have a right to. They just follow them.
Yeah, it's crazy.
Yeah.
Now, Steve, the trial for the guy who did this horrible thing to your son is coming up. With the verdict of Kate Steinle and the way that played out, do you think possibly are you worried that the same verdict might come down? Or are they a little harder on illegal immigrants in Arizona?
Well, you know, we're definitely a different demographic than what California is. But still, I'm terrified. I mean, what happens if we get a couple people on the jury and I don't want to label anybody as a liberal or a conservative, but what happens if we get a liberal or we get somebody who is partial to illegal immigrants? What happens? I mean, are we going to lose that first-degree murder charge, or is it, you know, are they going to convict him of a lesser charge? I'm terrified. I mean, like Laura said, my heart goes out to the Steinle family. I don't know that I could be as quiet as what they've been. I don't know if I could sit for that.
You know, I hate to say it, Steve, but because that's what I mean. They have all the rights now. And, you know, people thought mine was an open and shut case because the kid that killed Joshua actually said where his body was and took police to it. So, you know, everybody, even in my own community, thought, oh, open and shut. It is not. It is a new ball game. And it is about the prosecutor, and it is about the defense attorney, and that killer has all the rights, and you sit there and watch the game. I mean, that's it. So, I hate to say it, but you do need to be aware that that's all it is, that we're in a new game now. And that person has all the rights, and our dead children, and we have none. And we sit there and watch the game, and it's whoever plays it better is the winner. And it's hard to take that in and to see that, you just feel so left out again. But, you know, I can't imagine the Steinleys with that. You know, he can never be tried again for this, never.
Right.
You know, we may see him, in a month or two, you know, back in California or maybe back to, San Francisco. He came there for sanctuary and it's worked. So what's to deter him from coming right back?
It's just baffling. Now, Kate's law passed, right? And Grant's law also passed?
Well, they passed the House. They have not passed the Senate. And I don't know if you saw that yesterday, Congressman Andy Biggs he came to the cemetery and helped me, you know, decorate Grant's Christmas tree. And we talked a little about this, and you know, the Senate has stepped back from all of the illegal immigration. They're trying to get the tax bill done and some other things that they think are so important. But what they don't realize is that, like with Grant's trial coming up, and there's a couple of other trials for illegal immigrants that are coming up, we need these things to be heard, and they need to be heard now. I mean, I understand that taxes and a tax cut is important to a lot of Americans, but so are Americans dying. I mean,
yes,
those
bills sit there. You know, Americans die every day. I mean, you and I are so aware of that. As they just sit off in a corner. Americans are dying every day. You may not hear about, you know, half of them, but they are. It is happening every single day. It's a tragedy.
And not only lives being lost, but there's assaults, sexual assaults, rapes, drugs, other violence like beatings, kidnapping.
Right.
And I'm sure all wrapped up in this is somehow, somewhere, the pedophiles, sex trafficking, human trafficking ring is somewhere wrapped up all in this as well, I believe it. It might be part
Absolutely
of the reason why they fight so hard. They fight so hard for the illegals because they're bringing stuff that they want and they need. From
I
drugs
agree. Absolutely, it is all, you know, all mixed together, and you can't get one without the other. That's exactly why it sits. It's big money. I mean, it's all it is. And it's absolutely crazy that kids die and you know, that Americans are losing their rights and giving them up to everybody else that, you know, comes here illegally. It's just maddening about it because, you know, what makes us so important that we were born a citizen, you know, we follow all the laws we have to. We know if we don't, we're going to jail or there's consequences. You know, every time I sign my tax return or something of that, you think about that before you sign your name and, you know, is there anything that you've missed or, you know, and yet somebody else can use a fraudulent Social Security number and get taxes, you know, every year. You know, people say they pay taxes, but they're paying it on a fraudulent Social Security number. I mean, it's fraud. Who would be in jail?
How about the gentleman who was president of the United States for 8 years and his Social Security number belonged to Harry Brunel from Connecticut, who died like 20 years before he was even in this country or something, like some crazy thing like that. Harrison Brunel, or Harry Brunel.
Incredible.
From Connecticut. Forged social service cards. Bogus birth certificates. And they run for and win and reside in the White House.
Yeah.
That's scary.
Yeah, it's got to stop. We just have to get the wall built where people cannot come in and out as, you know, we just have to do it. I mean, this is a time that, you know, maybe there was a time, you know, before that we didn't, that people would come across and work for the day and go home. This isn't it anymore. Yeah. You got people coming in from all areas of the country, coming through Mexico. And, you know, you have a 13-year-old that's been in El Salvador, and they're a whole lot different than my 13-year-old that's in America. And they're just a whole lot of difference, and they don't mesh well. And, you know, you have them coming through that just don't follow the law where they're at, or there is no law. It's lawlessness and violence, and we don't need it.
And I just remembered something. These folks are parading around like, we got to protect these illegal immigrants and these dreamers. And it brings to mind a dreamer named Elian Gonzalez during the Bill Clinton administration was removed from his family at gunpoint and deported back to Cuba. Elian Gonzalez, folks. Remember Elian Gonzalez?
Yeah, I do.
This is the Clintons that did this. The ones who are champions for the rights of illegal aliens. Had him at gunpoint, a child, 6 years old, guns in the face of his guardian, as he's dragged away and deported to Cuba, and they're going to talk to us about all this crap? I don't think so. They got another thing coming if they think the average American citizen is going to sit back and take this crap. Sooner or later, they're going to poke the bear one too many times. He's going to be hungry and angry. And some they're going to push too hard. I think that's what they want. I really believe maybe that's what they're trying to do. They keep swatting the hornet's nest, waiting for the hornets to come out. Eventually.
They invite them here with handouts, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah, they invite them into this country with handouts and wonder why they want to come.
And, you know, I drive home, and every once in a while there's a guy on the corner with a prosthetic leg and a sign that says, help a vet. You know, I give him a dollar or two if I have it on me every time I see him. There's a guy, he's on a corner with a prosthetic leg begging because he's hungry. He's an American man who obviously fought on a battlefield. And he's begging while these illegal immigrants run roughshod over our Constitution and our country. Something's got to be done. I think we may have the right president, but he's moving slow on this issue now. And I do understand that there are other things like tax cuts, yes. There are pressing issues like Kim Jong-un and his missiles. Yes. There's also crime sprees across our nation being perpetrated by folks who should not be here in the first place. Every one of those crimes preventable. Adding a burden to our law enforcement. Adding a burden to our taxes. Because we got to feed and house these criminals. Oh, wait, not in California. They let them out. They just let them run the streets. They lock up the Americans and they let the criminals run free. Horrific. Folks, we can't stand for this. We cannot stand for this.
You know, Mark, and I'm finding, especially since yesterday, obviously, posting the pictures of Congressman Biggs with us and so on and so forth, the commentary of those pictures, there's so many people that are just misinformed, and they've chosen the false media side. You know, I had one lady that called me a racist and said, well, what about the $11 billion they pay in taxes? And I was like, what about the $130 billion that it's costing us every year to support them? But they don't want to hear that side.
Yeah. You know what these folks do, too, is they rent one house. They have 30 people living in a house, every one of them getting benefits. And they're shipping millions of dollars out of our economy. It's crazy.
It's just gotten to a point where we cannot turn a blind eye to this problem anymore. It's costing us way too much money. It's costing us lives. It's costing us the innocence of our children. I mean, you know, they thought AIDS was bad, but I mean, we're surpassing it.
Yeah, I remember when I was a kid and AIDS was coming out and Freddie Mercury died. Oh, my God, it was this big thing. If you're not care, everybody's going to know somebody who's going to have this. Well, you know, my life, I don't know if I know anybody. Maybe one person in my life. I'm here 50 years. They started telling me this when I was 16. More people have cancer and more people get killed by illegal immigrants than people are dying of AIDS. You know? Crazy. And where do we go from here? Nobody cares. It seems like maybe the government's making money on this deal, too. And they don't want it to stop. maybe, I don't know. What do you think? Do you think maybe they don't want it to stop? Like Big Pharma, they really don't want Big Pharma to stop? They just say, make silly things and do silly stuff to make it seem like they're doing something, but they really don't care? What do you think, Laura?
Well, I think so. A lot of times it's big money, you know, and it's lobbying, and it's, you know, every one of them has their hand in the pot somewhere. And I do believe that's part of it. I mean, you know, there's no other reason why except votes, you know, wanting a vote, wanting to get people here illegally and to give them a driver's license, which allows them to vote, and, you know, give them, you know, they're giving away what we've paid into the system for years. And that is what it is. I mean, it's just, it's all about money. It's such a sad thing when you lose your kid and you look up and you realize it's really all about money. Just like Big Pharmacy, you know, they created this opioid epidemic with pushing these drugs and lobbying, saying they're great. And then they turn on and act like, oh, it's such a big deal that they're abused. Well, you know, it's doctors that give them out. I mean, you know, I don't know. They just seem stunned by what a problem it is, let alone they spent millions and millions and millions lobbying that to get them through, to get them approved. It makes me sick, actually. It's all about money.
And it's really crazy. And what the people need to do, man, really, is in this country, 63, 64 million people voted for Donald Trump. If we could all just come together at the same time and make our voice heard. We did it once.
Yeah.
And we elected the president. We're going to do it again.
We did. I'm ready for him to move. You know, we did come together and voted him because we wanted the change. And I'm ready to see some of them come to fruition. I know it's harder than he thought it. I know there's a lot of legalities in it, but I'm ready to see some of it come to fruition. You know, we need to stop the funding right now to those cities that protect illegal aliens over American citizens. I mean, that should be done right now without question.
Yep.
It's, you know, it's hundreds of millions of dollars. Yeah.
Sign it.
It's time to do it.
You know what I don't like about executive orders? Because I believe in my time of thumbing through the Constitution. Executive orders are something that only occurred during martial law. And as far as I can remember through my studying and researching, Abraham Lincoln declared martial law and then was killed before he can undeclare martial law. So we've been in a perpetual state of martial law since 1865. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Who knows? I don't know. I might be wrong, but I believe that's how it is. Executive orders are, you know, unconstitutional, I believe. I don't know, but who knows? It's not in the Constitution, an executive order, so that's got to be outside the Constitution. But they're using them. George Bush, Barack Obama used them like crazy. So we had a great conversation this week. We were talking blah, 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 and this one lady was like, oh, my God, what do I do? I'm surrounded by Republicans. So I let her think I was a Republican all night, and at the end of the night I said, oh, and by the way, I'm actually a libertarian. I love it. But I vote with research in my votes. As you see, I did not vote for that kook they sent up for the Libertarian Party. Sorry, but some of those folks in the Libertarian Party, including myself, are a little batty.
I can't
be a Republican. The Republican Party left me. I didn't leave them, like Hannity says.
You know, I did at least yesterday, and I did ask Andy Biggs. I said, look, what is the feeling up on the Hill at the Steinle verdict? I said, what are your fellow politicians saying? And I asked that question, and he said, you know, there's a lot of us that are just mad. And he said that he knows several congressmen and even senators that are just mad. And I said, now's the time. Fix it.
Yeah. Well,
and
as always,
it's easier said than done.
I was watching you the other night on Laura Ingraham. And after it was over, I kind of went on a little Facebook rant. And I was pissed off, too. So many people are pissed off. If we could only get everybody to be pissed off at the same time and send an email or call your senator. Imagine if everybody that was pissed off at that moment called their representatives. the very next morning and flooded the line.
Right.
You know, we got to let them know we're watching. That's what happened. You know, in the last administration, there were things that came up. And we had mad pushes to call our congressmen and senators. And we called. There were days I could not even – I had dialed the number 100 times before I could get through. That's what we need to continue to do. I think that's why we still have the Second Amendment. Because on a lot of those vote days for the Second Amendment gun grabs during the Obama administration, I could almost never get through on the line. And it was very inspiring to know that folks were calling that heavily over that. And I think that's what we need to do. So, folks, dial 202-224-3121. Ask for your rep. Tell them what you think about the Kate Steinle verdict and what you think should happen. Something needs to happen. They need to do their damn jobs and stop protecting these people. It is part of being a politician is to protect the national security and the safety of the citizen, not to pander to criminals. Yet here we are, 2017, pandering to criminals. Imagine if Archie Bunker was on TV today. We wouldn't even laugh 1 second because he would be so censored. But he spoke like ignorantly, but there was always a lesson in what he was trying to say. And we need lessons like that. He didn't like commies. He let the world know right there on Archie Bunker, he didn't like communists. Imagine if Archie Bunker was alive today to see what communist kids protesting in the street carrying communist flags. It's crazy. Where has this country gone? I know where it went. It left the pews of church to the back alleys to do heroin instead. That's what I think happened. Nobody cares anymore. Here we are, we're going to celebrate Christmas, and they want to say happy holidays. They want to not acknowledge Christmas. They want to get rid of the song, I'm Dreaming of a White Christmas. They want to boycott white businesses. Good luck. You know, we boycott the... Why has it got to be white versus black? Why do they got to turn it into a racial thing all the time? I don't know, man. I'm getting off topic because I get on a roll sometimes. I get frustrated because there's so much going on all at the same time. But we did have good news today. You know what the good news is today, folks? Corinne Brown sentenced to 5 years in prison. Hallelujah. Man, did you ever think you would see the day that a Democrat would be sentenced to 5 years in prison for anything? Maybe it's the start of something amazing. What do you think about that?
Well, there's nobody in office to pardon him.
Yeah.
And the media won't report it. The mainstream media won't.
Now, enough people are on to the mainstream media. How come they haven't turned it off yet? How come they don't go, well, I can't watch this crap anymore? I don't watch, believe it or not, no news. I look for stories, and then I research the truth. I don't take anything as truth, anything that comes across the news wires as truth. You can see, if you go to my page, the Corinne Brown story, I wrote great news if it's true. And I had to wait until I heard that it was true. I didn't believe it was true until I heard them tell me that it was true. And then I said, yay, you know. It's crazy. You cannot, even conservative pages, conservative news stories, they are sensationalist just as the leftist news sources. They sensationalize stories. They try to make it so that you can't turn the page, that you have to be riveted to that story. So it's just as bad on our side with propaganda and lies. Believe it. So I don't trust any news. So far, the only one I can still say that I trust fully, Sean Hannity. And I like Tucker. He's doing pretty good, too. Laura, she's wearing on me, you know? But you can't get the truth. Where do you find the truth? You tune into Patriot Nation Radio and you have people tell you what's really happening. Folks, we're talking with Laura Irish Wilkerson and Steve Ronnebeck, whose children were senselessly killed by illegal aliens who should have never been in this country. We should not even be having this conversation. That's the part that kills me. Although I'm proud and glad that I know these two folks, great people, love their country, love what it stands for, the Constitution, and are just sick of what it's become like the rest of us. They've shredded the Constitution, although the Bundy Ranch situation is unfolding unbelievably also, as all of the defendants are being released because the prosecution has been caught withholding evidence and lying, outright lying on the stand, and the judge closed the courtroom, threw everybody out of the courtroom, and had a four-hour meeting with the prosecution and the defense, and then everybody's been released. So you keep fighting hard enough and keep praying, maybe we can get something done. Folks, you got to pray. When does the trial start, Steve, for your son's killer?
You know, we're not sure yet, and I'll explain to you and your listeners what's happened. We were on the eve of trial. The trial was supposed to start this last September. Well, at the last minute, the defense put in a plea of intellectual disability. So basically what they said was because he had a fourth grade education in Mexico, he was retarded and he doesn't know the repercussions of what he did. So, yeah. So, you know, that's where that's at. Now, that plea is actually in front of the Arizona Supreme Court, which we're hoping they'll rule within the next 3 to 4 weeks. If that happens, we'll hopefully have a trial early spring.
Well,
incredible.
We're going to start a prayer chain when that trial starts, and we're going to pray every night, man, until that verdict comes through. And
well,
I believe in
you.
The power of prayer. We prayed for the Bundy family and all them defendants repeatedly, constantly, always praying. And look what happened. It works. I believe the power of prayer is what happened. The truth will set you free. As long as you stick to the truth and you don't waver, man, my eyeball hurts. You will be rewarded. I think that the federal government's corruption under the last administration is so deep and so intertwined in everything that it's going to be almost impossible to unwind the mess that Obama left in just 8 short years. I don't know if they can do that. We'll have to see. You know, it's going to be a battle. You know?
Well, Mark, I tell you, there is one thing I want to do, okay? To all of our law enforcement that's out there listening tonight, I'd invite you to find my Facebook page. Send me a message. I'd like to know what our sheriffs and our police chiefs and our police think of this sanctuary city and sanctuary state thing. Because you know what? There's a group of people that can just flat out say, no, we're not believing in sanctuary cities. We're going to do our job. And that's law enforcement. So I'd like to know where they stand. And I invite every one of them, please, fill my Facebook up with a way to get a hold of you or send me a message. I don't care. But let's see what – because we don't get to see what the average everyday sheriff or police officer says or thinks because they're told they can't talk to us.
Yeah.
They're told
well,
they
the
can't talk
in,
to us.
The one here in Houston is all about sanctuary cities. Houston Police Chief Art Acevedo came to Houston from Austin, which is liberal as ever, and he is all about it. Sanctuary cities, welcoming cities is what they like to call it now, welcoming. We welcome everybody. It's maddening. You know, it's just maddening because, like you say, they can't talk to us. So, you know, I have some friends that are law enforcement, and I know what they feel about it. You know, they'd love to do their jobs. They don't understand it either. But, you know, it just comes down from the mayor to the police chief, and it's maddening, you know.
And you, what's your sheriff's name, the one that's welcoming all these illegal immigrants?
It's the police chief of Houston, and his name is Chief Art Acevedo, I believe. And, that's what he's – go ahead.
Maybe we need to get some illegal immigrants together, and maybe we can – take him over to his house and maybe he'll, you know, maybe we should let him, if he's so welcoming, maybe he'll let them into his house with his family, let him stay
exactly.
for a couple weeks.
Exactly. Welcoming city. And it's like, you know, why don't you welcome them? You're right. At your house, you take them home, you pay for them. Yeah, that's exactly right. It's maddening.
Yeah. And when you say that to the liberal, they go, I don't want them at my house. I live in a gated community behind that wall over there. I don't want to, I live behind that wall for a reason.
Behind the wall. That's right.
I got $1 million house. What happens if they stain my carpet?
Yeah.
Oh, my God, those evil honkies are going to come and get me. Those people that have all that privilege. The privileged ones. Yeah, show me the privilege, man. I struggle every day.
I wish I could drink the Kool-Aid that Governor Moonbeam drinks. Maybe I wouldn't care so much about my fellow citizens. Maybe it's the Kool-Aid.
The hippies and the Grateful Dead brought that Kool-Aid up there. You don't want none of that Kool-Aid. You'll see funny stuff. Jerry Garcia left it all in San Francisco.
Apparently.
I'm sure of it. And half the people are still tripping and think it's 1962 or 69 or something. And we're going to Woodstock, Martha, let's go. And they just have no idea. They have no grip on reality or what's really going on. And so that's maybe the problem. The San Francisco folks up there just are eating Jerry Garcia's leftover acid from the concert at Asbury Haight in 1969. Who knows? Good Lord, we got to do something.
You know what really baffles me is Dianne Feinstein. Okay?
Ugh.
So that woman.
They keep voting for her. Why?
That woman has got her head screwed on so wrong. It just baffles me why she can't. Can she pick a side? Do something. She was the mayor of San Francisco, for God's sake. It's not like she's new to this.
Yeah.
I don't get it. Great.
Nancy Pelosi, there's another one. Good old California. Got to be proud of those folks. What's the other one, Maxine? Oh, boy. They're crazy.
Oh, Maxine Waters.
I'm telling you. They're doing something out there in California. Maybe they're just poisoned from the Fukushima radioactive fish coming out of the Pacific Ocean. I don't know. But I think liberalism may be a mental disorder. What are they resisting on the left? Less taxes, more jobs, national security, freedom, liberty, and the American way. That's what they're resisting when they resist Donald Trump. I don't understand it. There's plenty of countries where they could go and live happily ever after. They could go to, say, Venezuela if they want to live like that. They can have all the songs they want
from all of those.
Where's Roman
and senators? They're exempt from all of the things that they're pushing for us. Healthcare.
Where's Roman Polanski live?
Yeah, he's like in Sweden or something, hiding.
Maybe they should go party with Roman Polanski.
Or maybe they can go out to Jeffrey Epstein's little island and take a flight on his plane with Slick Willie and the rest of the freaks.
Yeah, does anybody really want to run into the Clintons?
With my Cadillac. Wait, did I say that? I'm sorry.
So what are your listeners saying, Mark?
Oh, they're talking about Senator Cornyn. They're working on some gun grabber law, which is inside H.R. 38. They're trying to sneak some stuff in there. Let's see. Houston, a lady from Houston. Jim and Linda are talking about Hillary and Obama with dealt with America might do some better. Obama is running things from his house nearby, shadowing Trump wherever he goes. Yes. And I heard that Trump fired three people, holdovers of the Obama administration. I was trying to find it. That were caught like undermining him and doing all this stuff. I don't know if they're getting arrested, but things are starting to unravel for these people on the left little by little. I don't believe Al Franken's going to really get in any kind of trouble. I think I'm sorry, and they're going to let him slide, although I did see his daughter is speaking out saying he's a madman. But I truly believe that the liberals live by a different set of laws, as you could see what happened with Christian Saucier, the sailor who was jailed for 6 photographs as Hillary ran around the country with 150 counts of mishandling classified information and no arrest. She's free, running around still, throwing her 2 cents in once in a while. I wish she would just, like, retire. There's a retirement home. Go there. It's called Sing Sing. Hurry up. I think we should send them out to, what's that, Alcatraz. I think they should reopen Alcatraz for all politicians who are culpable in the murders of innocent women, children, men across this country by illegal immigrants. Alcatraz for the political people who would allow this to happen and facilitate it. You know? Gitmo. Maybe Gitmo is better. Get them off the continent. Just get them the hell out of here, completely out of here. Off the continent. Goodbye, see you later. You know? Crying out loud. What are we going to do with this mess? So what do you think? Where do we go from here now that this verdict came down? Steve's son's killer's trial is coming up. Where does America go from here in this issue? I guess we just keep fighting, keep speaking, keep talking. Keep it fresh in everybody's mind.
You know, I'm going to keep being vocal. I'm going to keep asking the question. I'm going to keep putting it out there. I'm going to keep telling people about my son and about Laura's son and about Spencer Golvach and Brandon Mendoza. I'm going to tell people about these kids that, you
that's
know,
all we
what's
can
happened
do.
To them.
Yeah.
And
that,
all,
that's
all
what
you have to
do.
And all you have to do is if you want to come on my show, is you tell me, I want to come on the show. I need to speak. Tell the people this. You come on my show anytime. I love to have you guys on. What happened is extremely important to me. I have a young son. He's 6 years old. I don't want him to have to live like that. I want him to live free and not have to worry if he goes down to the park, is MS-13 going to gut him? I don't want to have to worry about that crap.
Exactly.
You know? So come on my show anytime. Just send me a message. Hey, can I come on the show? Yep, my next show is Thursday. Come on. I will clear space on any show anytime for you guys.
Thank you.
Thank you so much for that. Yeah.
So, I know that you have a lot of people that are watching the blog and they're sending you messages and so on and so forth. Does anybody have any questions for me and Laura? I mean, is there any questions we can answer? I don't care what the question is, good, bad, or indifferent. Does anybody have a question?
If you're on the live feed watching right now and you have a question for Steve or for Linda, give me a call. Tell us right now, and we will – I mean, for Laura, sorry. We will ask that question right now, live on the air. What is your question? And if you want to call the show, you can dial up at – right here. I'll play this. I love playing. I like clicking buttons.
You are listening to Patriot Nation Radio Live, 347-637-3942.
We'll open up this short segment for phone calls and commentary. So if you have a question and you're on the live feed, send me a question or give me a call, 347-637-3942. They will take questions, any question you have, they will answer it. So please, send us your question. Give me a call. If you happen to call on the line, just press 1. It will identify you on the board. I can get you on the show. And so far we have no – it looks like my live feed died. I don't know. There's no comments coming up, so it doesn't seem. I don't know. Is anybody on the live – are one of you guys on the live feed by any chance?
I am not.
I'm not.
I don't see any questions coming across. So how do we move forward now that the verdicts are starting to roll in these cases? I was trying to get Jamil to come on. You guys know what happened with his case. Is his son's murderer been convicted, or did he get away? I'm not sure. I tried to get him to come on too, but he never answered. Hello?
I believe he got a conviction, if I'm not mistaken. I believe he did. Now, don't quote me, but I do believe that he got a conviction.
I followed his story for a while, and then I know he's got a radio show, and I get the messages all the time when a show goes on, and I have failed Mr. Shaw. But I reached out to him a few times and haven't come on the show with us, and he didn't respond. So maybe he's just done with it all now. It's been enough, and he don't want to come on shows anymore and talk about it. That, you know, that happens too. It gets a little frustrating. How many times can you tell people what happened to your kid, you know, and all you want to do is hug them, you know?
Exactly. Holidays are a different time as well. You know, it's you have a lot of good days after time goes by, and then, you know, you wake up one day and you've got 1,000 pounds on you again, and you just never know when it's going to hit or how long it's going to last, and it will probably be that way forever. You know, just the brutality in my case and in Steve's case, it just doesn't make any sense that somebody wanted a pack of cigarettes and would kill somebody, shoot them in the face for that. And at the same time, you know, the kid who wanted Joshua's truck to scrap for money did the same thing. It, you know, it's just so senseless what we would have paid them to not do it, you know, if we could have, is immense.
Yep. Well, hopefully, you get this damn wall, something, border security and an agency that follows the laws that are there on the books. For crying out loud, they just got to follow the laws. And that's it. You know, this could all be preventable. Folks, if you're outraged as I am, call your senators and tell them how pissed off you are about this verdict. 202-224-2131. Call them. Call the D.C. switchboard. 3121 or something. Call it. Tell them. You're mad as hell. You're not taking it anymore. That's one of the greatest lines in any movie. A guy throws open the window, screams out the window, "I'm mad as hell and I ain't taking it anymore." We shouldn't have to. Shouldn't have to. You know, there's kids that right now probably say, Nebraska. They're hungry. They're going to bed. They're American. That's horrific. When every American citizen goes to bed with a full belly and every American citizen has a roof over their head, then we can start talking about some of these criminals, how we could get them the hell out of here the right way to never come back. I got a question from Jim or Linda. I think they have a joint site, Jim and Linda. What can we do in our local communities about these issues? What have you guys done in your local communities to address this situation, Steve? Hello?
I'm here.
Laura?
Yes, I'm here. You know, I tell you what you can do is just get on the phone about the Sanctuary City issue. I know if it has not applied to your family, you really don't think much of it. It sounds so nice and welcoming. But what that's really telling you is that we are going to protect an illegal alien over your American family in our city. And get on the phone with them and make sure you're not. Sometimes you have to go and really ask, what is their written policy on this? And just start there, because the Sanctuary City, which sounds like it's you know, you're going to church, is actually telling you we're gonna look out for the best interests of illegals before Americans. It also says if we stop an illegal alien that doesn't have a driver's license, we're gonna let him go. Now, if you or I get stopped with a driver's license and it's expired or suspended or we couldn't tell them who they are, we're going down to the jail till they find out who we are to get let go. There's two sets of rules here, and one for illegals and one for American citizens. And the sad part is that it's the American citizens that have it the hardest. So my advice is just to start locally and, you know, tell them you don't want a sanctuary city. You know, you want to know that Americans are put first.
Yep.
And
so
that would be my suggestion.
And that would be the county commissioners. Call your county commissioners and stuff like that and start with them. They make a lot of decisions.
A lot of that too comes down from the mayor to the police chief. And so, you know, it changes all the time, but I'd be sure to follow up on it just so you know what your city is advocating for. Are we advocating for citizens first or illegal aliens first? You know, they seem to be able to escape or skirt the laws as we as American citizens are going to be held fully to those laws. And we should be, you know, that's what we learn. That's what we grow up knowing. And just to think if someone else gets pulled over, they don't have to adhere to those, it's just you're kind of dumbfounded when you first learn about it.
And you know what's crazy is go ahead, Steve.
Phoenix this last summer, the mayor came down and said, you know, we're not going to enforce or cooperate with ICE. And that was our own Phoenix mayor, which, I mean, we have a huge problem here.
And that's when everybody should have gotten on the phone and called them, you know?
Yeah. Oh, you know, change your voting. Really look at who you're voting and what they're voting for. And you know, that's really one of the most powerful ways you can change them is by understanding the laws and what they advocate for and, you know, finding out what that sanctuary city means and then go in and vote differently, you know. Because, you know, before it happened to me, I never thought twice about it. I couldn't have imagined that somebody that's not a citizen would have more lenient laws than I do. I just couldn't imagine it. But that's the very truth, and you just don't realize it.
The Constitution doesn't cover them, yet it seems to cover them more than it covers me and you. I mean, you know, even
absolutely.
When we have to be afraid, we have to be afraid to exercise even just our First Amendment rights to speak in some places. You know, Antifa will attack you and smack you down for having free speech. No free speech for you. We are the free speech Nazis. They're using Nazi tactics,
you know,
Antifa, using Nazi tactics to silence their opposition. It's crazy, and it's happening in all different walks of life. Go ahead, Laura.
Right. One thing they're going to tell you is that, you know, we welcome everybody and, you know, it makes it sound like so nice, but the reality of it is that we should have more rights than them, and you just don't know, realize it until you get there. You know, just learning about it, I think, and making sure what it means for your family. Don't wait until it happens to you. You know, when it happens to you, when this happened to our family, you know, we all of a sudden, you know, Josh is there one day and leaves for school, and he doesn't come home, and by 1 o'clock, he's been murdered and thrown in a field and set on fire. And I don't find out to the very next day where he is. And then, you know, like Steve's going through, we waited 2 years for a trial because they want to send him away to get him competent to stand trial, make sure all the, you know, the lines are crossed and, you know, the I's dotted to be sure this will go through as a case. But you just have to sit through that. And then when you get to the trial, you see pictures of your kid, you know, bound up hands and feet, you know, charred from fire. And, you know, Joshua's head was so big and so brutally beaten, and you know, his socks were burned off of him, and it's pictures that you cannot imagine, you cannot ever unsee, and you just live with that forever. It changes your family that day. It changes every relationship we've ever had. You know, things get back to as best as you can get, but who knows what that is, depending on the level of trauma that your family goes through. And it's just unacceptable. You know, the kid that killed Josh was in front of a judge just a few weeks before, charged with stalking a young girl in a nearby city. If he would have been held then, the very least, he wouldn't have, you know, killed Joshua. If he'd have been held then, because he's a flight risk, you know, an American citizen that has any amount of money gets in trouble, DWI or something like that, the first thing they're going to do is take your passport because so you can't leave. But yet they let illegals who have, you know, waltz in and out. It amazes me. But, yeah, if he'd have been held then until trial, then he wouldn't have killed Joshua. But, you know, you go through things that you just can't even imagine. You never imagine murder as part of your family. You never imagine one day you have a kid and the next day you don't. And, you know, it turns you inside out.
My fear
literally.
Every day. Fear every day. So a friend of mine, Overpasses for America, posted this. It's now on the live feed. It's 8 U.S.C. Section 1324. Under Title 8 U.S.C. Section 1324, any U.S. citizen that knowingly assists an illegal alien, provides them with employment, food, water, shelter, has committed a felony, city, county, or state officials have declared their jurisdictions to be open cities or counties or states are subject to arrest. As are law enforcement agencies who choose not to enforce this law, police officers who ignore officials who violate Title 8 U.S.C. Section 1324 are committing a Section 274 federal felony. Furthermore, according to Federal Immigration and National Act of 1952, if you live in a city, county, or state that refuses to enforce the law for whatever reason, the officials making those rules are financially liable for any crime committed within their jurisdiction by an illegal alien. Anyone aiding, abetting illegal aliens, be it an ordinary citizen, police officer, members of the United States Congress, the president himself, or any state or local government, committing a felony. There you have it, folks.
That's why we are screaming. That's why we're screaming, enforce the law. Follow the laws in place, because there's nobody we could hold accountable. Trust me, from the city to the state to federal, there was nobody we could hold accountable, absolutely no one. And, you know, even if this kid had killed, or if Josh had killed him, you know, at the very least, we have homeowners. We have, you know, stuff that they could go after. So you can find out in 5 minutes, you know, where we live, what we do. You can find out nothing about this person that killed Josh. You know, I could find out nothing about it because there's nothing on paper. You know, everything's in somebody else's name, and they have vehicles in someone else's name. You can find out nothing. Trust me, we tried. There is no one you can hold accountable, but that's why we scream, enforce the laws on the books. Just enforce what's here. And you know, how do you cherry pick that law? It's aggravating.
Well, you know what, Mark? The one thing that I have a hard time with is President Obama aided and abetted the man who killed my son. But I can't sue him.
Yep.
Why can't I sue him?
I don't know. This problem is maybe you can. Is there
a legal executive order?
Maybe there's a civil attorney that'll take that case. That's what we have to do. We got to beat him in court. Except the court system is completely corrupted. It has been destroyed. The judicial branch is a joke now. It has been turned into a circus, and everybody's a court jester.
You ask everybody, but there is no one to turn to. No one wants to take that on. You know, they just don't. I mean, we went to, I guess, to the highest people in different places looking at, and no one wants to battle that. They know what a bag of worms it would be, how long it would be, how costly it would be. And, you know, in the bottom line, your kid's not worth it to them. That's just how it is. That's just how it
collateral
is.
Damage in a bigger war to them.
Yep.
At this point, like Hillary said, at this point, what difference does it make? These guys are just a bump in the road. Like, really? That's their attitude. It's really, really bad. Now, I don't know how it's been a few months now since Voice kicked off. What is it? Victims of Illegal Immigrant Crime Enforcement?
Yeah.
How's that group doing? Is that group going pretty good? Is there a way people can help? Maybe we could talk about that group a little bit because there are many, many victims of illegal immigrant.
I don't know much about that group anymore. I know it was started and there's a number that you can call in, but I don't know how it's going. I have not talked to them in a while to see how it's going. And that is for people that was established for people that are the victims of illegal alien crime. Now, I know Steve and them have started a new group which helps people as well, so he may can tell you, you know, about that group and what they are able to do for people who are victims.
Yeah,
ABAC. Yeah, what's
your group? It's called ABAC. And basically what we're trying to do is we definitely want to get people who are victims of illegal immigrant crime in touch with DHS through the voice group. You know, we're trying to make it so that these people's voices are heard. You have so many people out there that probably haven't said anything. You also have, unfortunately, you have people like the Steinleys who have retreated and said, you know, even Jamil Shah, and I'm sure you're right, Mark. I'm sure he's retreated. And I'll be honest, even I retreated for a couple months. I it was overwhelming. So
you have to.
ABAC wants to get the word out there. We want to educate people. Because, again, like I said, you know, I've had people contact me, and they get all nasty with me, and they say, well, what about all the victims of that mass shooting? Don't they matter? Well, of course they matter. All of us, Laura, Marianne Mendoza, all of us, we're not trying to take anything away from anybody else, not at all. All we're trying to do is make people realize that these crimes against our children were preventable. Those people shouldn't have been here in the first place.
Right, before Mr. Trump came down and said, you know, I hear you, I hear your voices, nobody would even acknowledge that this happened in the past administration. So you had nowhere. It felt so good to feel like someone that could possibly do something about it was listening, and it really would at least acknowledge the fact that it's happening on a daily basis, that people are here illegally and kill American citizens, and they're being protected. So, I mean, it felt so good to me just to be heard for that first time. So, I mean, with the AVAC, it's a great thing that they're, you know, getting to be heard is just something else, because you feel so lonely. And look, you know, it's personal for everybody else. You have to retreat sometimes. There are days you wake up and you can't get up. And a lot of it depends on the personality and the trauma you went through and what actually happened and, you know, when you can wrap your head around the fact that your child's gone, let alone how to, you know, to do something about it or to try to change what's happened. You know, everybody, I knew the Steinleys would go home and basically their family would die waiting on this trial until they could speak again about it. And then they've been going through some civil stuff, so they can't speak about it. And it may be years before they come out and have a different feeling about it. You know, we can certainly not speak for them, but I can speak to what it felt like to us. And, you know, it's different with everyone. And, you know, I tell you what, I pray for that family right now, because I know the loneliness and the, you just feel like the world's gone on without you. And it's the most surreal feeling ever. It's a hard time.
And being I have one son. It's the only kid I'm ever going to have. Well, I can't say ever, but I know that right now I'm never going to have another kid. And I fear that fate every day, that when he walks out the door, when I go to work, is my son going to be okay today? Why should I have to feel that? I should never have to feel that. I feel that because I hear these stories and I see the outcome and what they do and how they don't do anything except to hurt the Americans. It's scary. It's so scary. I'm scared for America. I'm scared for my son. I'm scared for all the little kids. You know, I'm an old man now. Everybody said, John, I'm 50's the new 30. I'm 50 years old, man. To me, 50's pretty old. I'm on the other side. I'm heading down the hill now. You know, if I make 30 more years, I'm lucky. You know, so I'm way past half. I'm an old man. I live. So if I have to die to make sure that the kids live free and safe, so be it. I'll do it. I'll do it in a heartbeat. For the freedom, liberty, and the American way of life to be sustained for the next generation of children, I would die right now. I would not be afraid. I would if I had to suffer for a week first and then die. And I could die real fast. No, whatever it took, I would do that, man, because I traveled, I partied, I went to rock concerts, sports games, monster trucks, race car tracks. I did all kinds of stuff, you know. Shot guns and went hunting and fishing and snowboarding and vacation here and went to Jamaica. You know, I did all this stuff. I did it all. The kids, they haven't done anything. They went to school, you know, maybe, and they go to church, they go to the playground, but they haven't lived yet.
You can't let them out to live, hardly anymore.
Even at 15, some kids even at 18 to 20 haven't even lived. 25, they still haven't lived. We got to give these kids a chance to live their lives. Full, happy, and free. Ooh, that's some background. But I'm gonna wrap up this show because I scheduled it for an hour and a half. I try to stay within an hour. So if you guys have any groups, any fundraisers, any events, anything like that that you want to promote or put websites or anything, now's the time. We'll start with you, Steve, because maybe you can give that group out again, maybe websites or whatever that are attached to it.
Well, obviously it's aviac.org, aviac.org, and then there's always the Grant Rodebeck Foundation. Again, that's another foundation that was started by Grant's girlfriend and her parents to help victims of illegal immigrant crime. You know, I know that the Brandon Mendoza Foundation And I know, Laura, you've got a couple things going too, don't you?
I do. It's enforcethelaw.org, and it just, you know, gives some views on what's happening, and you can kind of see where things stand. So if you'll go there and take a look at it. And then AVIAC, you know, all we want to do is help people that are in this position where we were, and now we can finally come out of oblivion to speak about it and to tell you how painful it is and how life-altering it is, and just get people active kind of before it happens to their family, and you know, start with your local things. But yes, thank you so much for having me on, and I appreciate it a whole lot.
And I want to thank
you
guys. Your strength is admirable. The strength that you guys have is admirable, to be able to go on and on and on and tell this horrific story again and again and again. And it really is important, and I thank you for having that strength, because it's inspiring. And if anything like this ever happens to me, I will use you guys as an example of what I should do. You know?
Well, thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks again, folks. Ladies and gentlemen, that was Laura Irish Wilkerson and Steve Ronnebeck. You can hear this show again. If you missed it or you came in late, you can just check out the live feed on my Facebook pages, or head on over to Blog Talk Radio at www.blogtalkradio.com/Patriot Nation. And the show is right there. Go to Shows On Demand. Just when you get to that page, make sure you hit follow. Then if when I create my shows, you'll get an alert. And scroll down a little bit. It says Shows On Demand. You'll find it. Go look by date. It's right there. You can find it. I want to thank everybody for tuning in, all you guys on the live feed and everybody on Blog Talk Radio. Thank you so much for tuning in. Laura and Steve, again, thank you guys so much for coming on the show. It means a lot to get this message out. It's so important that people hear what's really happening, that the American citizens are getting put on the back burner for illegal immigrants across this country, and we can't stand for it. Call your reps, 202-224-3121. Scream, scream, scream. You know? It's very, very important to let them know. They listen. I call them phone. I call that phone all the time. I call that number. I have it memorized. It's in here. 202-224-3121. Call it. Call it often. Call it all the time. Call it so many times that they go, oh, crap, it's Mark again. Oh, geez, this guy never called so much. Mark, you again? That's what you want. You want them to, when they pick up that phone and they hear you, they just know you by name. You know what I'm saying, folks? 202-224-3121. Hook it up. Ladies and gentlemen, right now is my second favorite part of the show. My favorite part is the first time I do the national anthem, and my second favorite part is doing the national anthem again. Of course, having my guests and talking to my guests is very great, too. And being able to bring the show to my fans and to people that listen, thank you so much, because without you guys, there is no show. This Patriot Nation Radio Network is your network. You make it. Without you, there is no network. So right now, join me. If we do this two times a show now, we're going to do this until the Super Bowl is over. In the face of the NFL, we disrespect the flag and those who died protecting it, those who are fighting now to protect it, and those who will protect it in the future. They want to disrespect it? Not on this show. Here's the flag in the screen. Join me.
That's what I'm talking about. We're going to sing it together. Are you ready? Come on, Pittsburgh. Are you ready?
Oh, say, can you see by the dawn's early light what so proudly we hailed at the twilight's last gleaming? Whose broad stripes and bright stars through the perilous fight, o'er the ramparts we watched, were so gallantly streaming. Does that star-spangled
Folks, that's Dave Bray a cappella out in Pittsburgh. Head on over to DaveBrayUSA.com today for merchandise and music. And if you don't like my show, you're tired of hearing my yap, head on over to Live Truth Radio and Brian Lang. Good stuff. You saw Fred Schneider pass by here earlier with that law concerning illegal immigrants. He's on Tuesday nights with Brian Lang when they do their show. And, that's good stuff. And also, my good friend, Pastor Sylvester Bland and the United Saints of America.us, www.theunitedsaintsofamerica.us. Check them out and check out Spread the Word with Gillis and Deborah. They're doing good stuff over there, too, spreading the word of truth. Remember, if you want to find out what's going on with the Bundy trial, search out John Lamb. He's always reporting right from the trials. You got to see the release of these great patriots this week. Amazing stuff. Prayers are being answered. They are going to be able to spend the holidays with their families. God, that's great news. And until we meet again this Thursday, 8 p.m., I have no idea what I'm doing. I think we're going to be doing another show on the Vegas massacre as Tucker Carlson is out in Vegas now. We're going to have a couple other folks join us. A lady, Yvonne, who started a page for the victims and survivors. She's got a page going, and she speaks to these people on a regular basis. A lot of folks are afraid to come forward and speak their piece about what happened in Vegas on October 1st. I have a few folks who were there, one at the Bellagio, one at the Paris, who come on regularly and want people to know that there were multiple shooters in Vegas on October 1st. And the government and the media and the local police and everything going on in Vegas is being suppressed. I think that's what we're doing Thursday. Until we meet again, 8 p.m. Thursday, right after American Brand Radio Initiative with Emmy Award-winning journalist Scott Kesterson and our captain at the helm, James Bostic, 7 p.m. on Thursday. They're also 7 p.m. on Tuesday. You want to check them out, too. Good stuff happening there. We're getting ready to fire up something. I'm digging up something for Friday night. So, Eric Brecky, if you're out there, I may be asking you to come on network. What do you think? All right, folks, 90 seconds left in the show. I want to thank each and every one of you once again. Good night. God bless you. God bless America.